This is Average Advice. I'm Zar.
And I'm Tim. Average guys, average stories, average advice.
Welcome to season two, where new and exciting things are on the way.
Stay tuned and stay average.
Do you think we overpromised?
Nah.
Average advice.
It's like the longest five.
What?
The longest 5 seconds of my life.
I know. It's so like, weird because it's like when you count to 5 seconds, it doesn't seem that long. But when you someone else is counting or you're seeing it go down, it feels like it's fucking ages. But welcome back, Zabi. Second last episode of the season, mate.
Thank you,
dude. And for the first,
I know it's flown.
Our
by.
Second ever returning guest is on today, Nick Wiebeck. Welcome back, mate.
Hello.
How are you,
movie guy?
Movie guy.
Guest.
Sorry,
I love that. I'm a recurring guest.
Who was our first recurring? Moose. Who was our first Moose. Returning guest? He wasn't a returning guest. We've had him one time.
I swear, someone has been returning. It wasn't Moose. No, that's right.
Because we're
talking about having Moose on next episode. That's what's got it in
I've
my head.
I've jumped the gun a bit.
All right, so you're our first returning guest then, Nick. Even better.
Thank you for coming on the show again. We're bringing Nick back because, to be honest, we were struggling to find more guests. And Nick was very, what's the opposite of flaky?
I was there. I was just around.
Keen.
keen to come
also,
on.
Also, I mean, like, we were looking at it, we're like, there were so many people that we've had on that we were like, that was a really good conversation. And we was like, oh yeah, we'll have you back on again. And usually we were talking about like next season, but we're like, fuck it. Let's bring people back on. Who cares? But Nick,
it's okay. You can admit it. I was disgustingly free. And
disgustingly free. I mean, that's definitely a plus.
I feel it.
Yeah. But Nick has, you still have your podcast with Ryan, or is that?
Yeah, we've started a new season, so we're in season three, and what we talk about, we've sort of changed direction a little bit. So what we do is we just basically have a director that we sort of talk about and their sort of portfolio of movies, which is kind of cool because it's a similar sort of style most directors have, like Martin Scorsese, Quentin Tarantino. In fact, we might have both of you guys on for when you want your favorite director comes up. And that'll be exciting.
Yeah, man. I love movies.
But it's cool because you talk about what you really love about them and what you sort of, you know, what you critique and everything. So it's a little, I think the conversation's a bit better when it's not just one movie.
Yeah. So, for people that don't know, the name of your podcast is The Hack and the Fraud. And you used to just, you'd watch a movie and then immediately turn the mics on and just review that movie, right? That was the concept.
Yeah.
So now instead of going that, you just come in with a director and just go through all of it.
Yeah. Review a director, just blind.
That's great.
No,
like,
just go in.
I've always looked at that because I'm like, I've been such a movie buff my entire life that like I could talk about movies. Probably movies and comedy are the two things I can talk about forever. And I'm sure at Zar's expense.
Well, it was hard for me when you asked because I had to go and look up a bunch of movies and see who the director was because I don't pay attention to it. So I was like, oh, I like that movie. Who's that? Oh, right. Who's that one? Except for like Tarantino movies, I know. Know the style and
Tarantino is one of those ones where and Scorsese too, I think, like when you look at them you're like, oh yeah, this is it has their signature all over it. But then you look at like movie directors like Steven Spielberg, where he's a really famous director and he's really good, but if I had two Steven Spielberg movies next to each other and I didn't know that the director of either of them, I wouldn't be able to guess that they were both the same director, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah. Because you got, let's say, Indiana Jones, which is a fun, you know, family-friendly adventure movie with, you know, Han Solo. And then you got Schindler's List, which doesn't even have color. and it's probably not a family-friendly movie. It's about the Holocaust. So it's completely different tones.
It depends what kind of family you're in,
so similar.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool how they like you can put your sort of signature on a movie. Like one of my favorite directors is Christopher Nolan, just because I like directors that write their own stuff and then produce it, because I feel like then it's the entire process is it's personal to them and you can feel that they actually cared and had passion about that movie. Where the people that you can know, the big movie producers or the big movie directors where someone else has written the movie and then they're just sort of coming and putting their spin on it. I mean, that's not bad, but you can definitely tell that there's not as much love in there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, 100%. Am I making sense? I was talking about this yesterday. It's like there's a difference between the Christopher Nolan films, even James Cameron. He spent 10 years making the sequel for Avatar. I haven't seen it yet, but you know, there's a lot of love poured into that movie. And then you got what I call sort of the fast food movies, which are really just the Marvel kind of ever since. What do they call it? It's sort of like zone. The next iteration. Yeah. So it's just sloppy CGI because they're not giving they're not giving it a lot of care. They're just basically saying, "Can you please?"
Which cookie kind of response? Go. Yeah,
which like they're sort of just like money making throw together, like we've got these movies.
Yeah,
like
it's just output.
I think of like first thing comes to my head is Fast and Furious. Yeah, like there's just like 12 of those movies and they're all just like trashy. Well, but they're just like, well, we're just gonna do it and make more money and just this CGI car crashes.
I right. love and the Fast and Furious.
It's fast food and it's bad for you. These movies are bad for you if you consume
the Fast and Furious series is so stupid because even Vin came out and was like, oh, yeah, number 10 is the last one. It's the final one. And then it came out and he's like, oh, actually, it's part three. Well, it's a three-parter. I'm like, why? Just let it die, dude. Just let the series die. And I saw who's the chick that plays Letty in that movie? Like, I saw her in an interview once. And she's like, yeah, that one. She's just like, oh, man, like, there's just not that many movies out anymore. Like, how many Marvel movies can there be? And I'm like, that's rich coming from you, mate. Like, at least Marvel movies has different characters. Like, you guys are all just doing the same fucking bullshit stunts all the time. And, like, there was one moment where I was – because I originally liked the Fast and the Furious series. And then there was – I think it was when maybe number 4 or 5. It was when, Toretto was versing fucking Statham. And, like, it was just so ridiculously stupid. And he got married in a fucking tank top and shit. Like – Me and Lorden almost walked out of the fucking theater. I was like, this is one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
Married
it's
in
so
a tank
dumb.
Top. That's a good
He literally got married in
I
a
think
wife
they just got Yeah. Lovely. Well, they got him, they got The Rock, and it just became just a big kind of like added more stupid characters to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't watch many movies these days. Yaz and I often we won't watch movies together because we often like different kinds of movies. So we're always like, oh, I don't want to watch a movie because you might not like it or she might not like it. But we went and watched, I don't know if you guys have seen The Intern.
Yeah, I've seen that with...
It's got Anne Hathaway and it's Robert De Niro. We watched it and I actually, it was so weird because it's not really much happens in the movie, like per se, but... We really enjoyed, like, it's like a very wholesome.
It's very wholesome. There's not much experience. Conflict, but it's not a sloppy.
Yeah.
Devil Wears Prada with Anne Hathaway. Like, very, not really much happens in that. It's sort of just her realizing that I don't want to become this fucking fashion bitch. Like, it's, yeah, those kind of movies. It's like the classic chick flick, for lack of a better term. But I mean, those kind of movies is like, sometimes you just need that, you know? Sometimes you don't want an action movie where Arnie's like, get down, get to the chopper. Like, you don't need that shit anymore.
So, yeah, we started watching and I sort of got like 20 minutes in. I was like, am I going to enjoy this? Like, I don't know. Am I going to get bored? And then I kept watching it. And by the end, I felt really satisfied. I was like, I enjoyed that. Like, I had a good time watching that and I feel good. They made me feel a bit better about myself.
Sometimes those movies where, like, they have big names because they just have good actors. Like, even if the script is not that good or the story is like pretty bland, if they have good actors, it's still interesting to watch. And like Robert De Niro is one of the greatest actors in my opinion. Like he's like, I like him in everything he's in. Have you seen Bad Grandpa?
Yeah, I was going to say Bad Grandpa.
That movie's fucking hilarious.
I was going to ask if that was included.
That movie's like,
is that,
that's not wholesome.
What's his name?
Zac Efron?
Billy Bob Thornton?
No, that's Bad Santa.
Santa. Bad Santa.
Yeah, Bad Santa.
Ah, never mind.
No, Bad Grandpa is Zac Efron and De Niro, where like Zac Efron basically has been tasked by his dad to, because his grandma just died, Robert De Niro's wife, and his dad tasked him to go on this trip with his grandpa to make sure he's okay. And then Grandpa just goes buck wild. He starts trying to fuck everyone and shit. It's fucking hilarious, dude.
I don't think I've seen it, but I think I've
definitely
seen
it. Unofficial sequel to The Intern.
Yeah. Aubrey Plaza plays Robert De Niro's love interest.
Yeah, she's always
good. No, I have actually seen that movie. So good, I have actually seen that movie. But yeah, I
do you kind of think
that,
there's
yeah.
like a sort of unofficial universe of all those bad something movies, like Bad Teacher, Bad right. Grandpa, Bad
Bad
Santa.
Teacher was one of the worst movies I've ever seen. Like, I watched that in the cinema.
Why is that a title? Like, I feel like Bad Something is just so lazy. So yeah, whenever, like, before I'd even watched the film, and yeah, it was sort of had a few laughs out of it. I was just like, Bad Grandpa, we're just. Do you want to? Is that a working title? Do you want to sort of add a bit more to it? Are we gonna?
Well, I mean, Bad Grandpa basically gives you. The title gives you exactly what the movie's about. Like, and same with Bad Teacher. Bad. It's literally the exact thing. As soon as you see that title, you're like, I already know what this movie's about. Like, it's about Santa being really bad or a teacher being really bad.
It just seems like an unofficial franchise, doesn't it? The bad. It does.
Do you guys ever remember watching a? Like an R18 or an MA15 before you were of age to watch those movies. Yeah. Do you have a memory of watching one? And you're there, you're like 12 years old watching it. And you're like, I can understand why I'm not old enough for this. Because I definitely had that experience.
I remember
one or two
when
times.
I was a kid, like I think I was like 9 or something. My sisters like had some friends over and they were watching The Mummy out in the lounge room. And I really wanted to watch it. And I was like, I want to watch this. And they're like, no, it's too scary for you. Yeah. And now looking back on it, I'm like, that's literally the, like fucking G-rated. Like, it's not even scary at all.
I know, but it was scary, well,
I was, like,
wasn't it?
Excluded.
It was a little bit scary. I mean, whenever I watched it I was always when like, when man, that mummy's just out? getting yeah. wild. And
when he starts going around killing people. But I think there was this. I tried to go. I remember when I was 12 or 13, me and a couple of friends tried to go to watch Rise of the Lycans in the cinema. And that all my friends were 15 and then I couldn't go in because I was underage. And then they fucking ditched me. They just went in, the bastards. I was so upset. I was like, come on, who cares about this? Why do you care so much? Fucking stupid things.
I think for me it was Saw. What? I think that came out Saw. When it was MA. So it was just gory. But
gore is like one of those things that I've never really enjoyed. Like, it's always been hard to watch for me. Even today, like, I don't even like watching hospital, like, dramas and stuff because like I'll do this to the camera whenever there's like a surgery scene or something because I don't want to see that shit.
Just no
blood. I'm so gross.
I watched Team America I think Fuck when yeah. I was about 11 or 12 and I remember there was certain scenes in that movie. I was sitting there and like because my dad was in the background, he let me watch it and he was like doing whatever in the background and there was like particular scenes I remember watching going like
this 8 minute sex
oh
scene.
Oh my god.
8 minute sex
and scene. Then yeah or like when he's just like spewing for like 2 minutes straight or some shit and my dad was like, huh, maybe I shouldn't have let you watch this. Dude. And I was just sitting there like I feel like I
this is
shouldn't
naughty.
Be watching this.
I just love
yeah, like I was like, I don't know about this. I'm uncomfortable.
Team America though was certainly made for that demographic. 11
oh, definitely. Well, I mean, South
so,
Park.
Yeah,
creators.
It was funny that they had yeah, it was MA, but it was 100%. I remember, I think I was at school at the same time, like in year 6, and everyone had seen it except for me, and so everyone was just talking about it for weeks.
Well,
I don't think adults.
Well, yeah, I was allowed to watch South Park when I was quite young as well. So I got used to the swearing and all the crude scenes in that show quite early.
Yeah,
but I think it desensitizes you a little 100%, bit to that kind of 100%.
Stuff. 100%. I was a baby of 5, so I mean, I was desensitized from 3. people were swearing all the time around me all the time. Like I watched
so your
and
first words
at that point, sort of. My mom had sort of been like, oh, just
fuck you, mom. Yeah,
she's like, my mom was just like, oh, just don't die. Just do what you want to do. Just don't kill yourself. So there was a lot of stuff where I was watching where I definitely
she
should
set
not
the bar high for you, Tim. She set yeah. the bar high for you.
Like, she just sort of gave up.
Yeah, you've done her proud.
I know. Somehow, now I just want to die. There's a difference. Like, I'm like, I'm not suicidal, but I'm pretty happy to die naturally soon. But no,
that's sad. I don't want you to die. That was, no one else that, wants you to
that,
die.
That
dude.
Was a quote from a comedian that I watched. But I remember there was this show called Stripperella.
Sure it was.
Do you remember Stripperella? There was on SBS back in the day, which is the only time you could watch like all the South Park and stuff back in the day. It was late night SBS. It was like South Park, Drawn Together, and then Stripperella. Drawn Together is like fucking South Park on drugs. It is so gross. And like, even I've watched it and I'm like, man, this is a brutal show. Like, there's some fucked up shit in that show. Like, there's this Betty Boop character and dude, she's fucked.
It's a mix between South Park and if you ever watched Happy Tree Friends.
Yes, watch that. That's exactly
gory.
Perfect analogy.
And you can get away with watching that at school because if you just have the intro, people are like, oh, you're just watching some cute little 4-year old, you know, bluey stuff.
I used to love
kind of like itchy and scratchy, like type shit.
I used to love
I kind of
like,
just made
people.
A little innuendo just there, but oh, not innuendo, what do you call it? A segue. Have you ever seen Bluey? I know you kind of didn't have kids to watch it, but
like
you guys
Blue's Clues, Bluey.
I've heard of it. I've never
seen like
it.
Blue's
it's
Clues?
Actually really, yeah, not Blue's Clues, it's Bluey. So Bluey's like
it's like the cartoon Blue Dog, right?
Blue Dog, yeah.
Yeah, I think my nephews used to watch that. I used to love
it's
that.
A good
as
excuse.
A kid.
Just sit down.
I've never watched
cool.
it. I know.
I've got no reason to watch it, but it's just one.
Is it violent?
No, it's not. It's really. It's actually. For
it's actually a kid's show. Yeah. Okay.
It's literally it should not a
kid's show. Everybody was like, "Look at this 4-year old," and then like it goes through the whole episode, da, 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 and at the end he just like stabs someone. Just,
just randomly turned into a murderer.
But it's like a flash on the. It's like in Fight Club, like just a flash of him like stabbing someone. And it's like subliminal messaging to the kids.
Well, that's why I loved Happy
but
Tree
then
Friends.
No one else knows.
Because like it started off like super cute, super happy. And then all of a sudden it just turns into a Saw episode. So I just used to watch people that have never seen it before. I used to show them. And then I just used to watch their face because it was just like, what the fuck?
The
like
there's
this
tone.
Ski episode and like literally everyone dies in it. They're like.
Here's a great story.
Go on.
So I went to my cousin's house one time. She had a bunch of her friends over. I guess they just invited me over to come hang out. I was about the same age as my cousin. I think we must have been about 16 or 17. So we were watching Saw, so it was fine. Like we
Saw
were old
one.
Enough to watch it. But I'd never seen I think it was Saw 2. Okay.
Oh, that was way worse.
The one I remember because like the intros where that guy's got like that mask with all the spikes and he's got to cut the key out of
that's
his
Saw
eyeball.
2, yeah. Yep.
And if he doesn't, it just closes on his face. Yeah. Anyway,
isn't that
we
where
like
it pulls his
scene.
Face apart or something like that? Something
no.
Up.
That's the first one. That's the first one. This is the one where it has like nails, and he doesn't get it off. It just goes on his face.
So many,
yeah. Anyway, so we're watching it. And it's really tense, obviously. And I'd never seen Saw, and I don't think anything. We were all like, oh shit. Just like watching, and then it happened. We were like, oh shit, we're all a bit tense. And then my uncle had like snuck around the side of the house. It was like a window right next to the TV and just went, bah! We all shat ourselves. We're like half the people just like ran to the other side of the room. And he's just there like losing his mind, like laughing.
Dude, if I ever have kids, that's
I was like, well played. Well played. Dude, he was like, I'm going to make him put a scary movie on and freak him out.
Dude, the scariest scene, not even scary, just the one that fucking gave me the heebie-jeebies the most in Saw 2 was they're in a room and then they had to get a key, but they had to go into a fucking pit of used needles.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, that is fucked up. And I'm just like watching this chick just getting stabbed with all these needles. And you're like, dude, think of the hepatitis C you're getting, dude. Like that one, out of all of them, I pretty think that one's probably one I hated the most. Even it wasn't even that gory. It was just even the thought of even getting stabbed with one needle, let alone like 100 of them. No, thank you. That's a no.
There's like one of the movies where like right at the end,
it's gore he's warning.
Like, he's like handcuffed to the like a ceiling, like a cage. He's in like a cage, so the ceiling's like
it's like a box, right?
Great. It's like grated, okay. Like it's like a prison cell, like it's like bars
just
like
around his arm.
He's just like handcuffed to the ceiling, and then he has. I don't know. I can't remember what he has to do, but the walls are closing in.
Classic.
And I can't remember what, like, because there's always like some way to get out of it, I think. Whoa. So I can't remember what it is. But anyway, he doesn't get out. And so the wall crushes him. And that's the end of the movie. And at the start of the next movie,
you see
his like body. He's just like mush of a body. It was just like, oh my
God. Sandwich, you just up, sort of dude.
I just remember watching the next movie and being like, oh.
There was one where I watched where like there was these two guys and they were basically both in different, there was like a wall in between the two and only one of them could survive. And the way that they could win, they had to basically put enough like weight on this scale to kill the other person, right? So,
oh yeah, yeah.
So what they had to do, they'd basically cut body parts off themselves, put them on the scale, and the one that got to the weight first won. So this guy, the first guy, basically disemboweled himself, was putting his like intestines and stuff on this thing, and the one other guy just cut off his arm, put it straight on there, and won immediately. And I was just like, dude, that's some commitment right there. That guy really didn't want to die.
The dude was big. He's a fat dude. He's just like, all right, I'm just going to literally just shave off all my pounds and just cut off all his blubber. And then the other guy's like, damn, I'm going to have to fuck this shit.
Just cut off his whole arm.
Do you guys remember the one? I think it might have been the last movie. It's like two guys on like a, they're like on a seesaw buzzsaw thing.
Yeah.
And then there's like a chick hanging from like the top. And there's like a buzzsaw in the middle. And they basically like got a, they got to like push it into the other person and only two out of the three will survive. Yeah. And otherwise the chick will die. And then they like find out that like one of them's the boyfriend, one of them's the guy she's been cheating on. And they like find out that she'd been cheating. They're just like, bro.
Yeah.
Bro.
What? What?
And they just like let her die. And they're like, bro. Oh, yeah. Like,
what's like, fucked up about that is because whenever whoever was winning, she was just like egging them on. She's like, yeah, yeah, win, push him, kill him. And then they both realized.
I always loved you.
I loved that one because that was the first time it was in public too. They were in this like bulletproof glass box in the middle of like Times Square or something. So everyone's trying to break in, but they can't. They've just watched these two people kill this chick.
Show.
Oh man, this episode got dark all of a sudden.
I'm impressed at Jigsaw's resources.
Yeah.
Like, how to get all these resources?
Beyond death, bulletproof. Too. He just sets it all up.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. He's a smart man.
From, like, number he's a three. Smart man.
He's got to be, like, fucking secretly, like, a billionaire to be able to just, like, have all these, like, things.
Well, have you seen the whole series? And, have you seen all of them?
I haven't seen the last one.
Yeah, not for years.
Because the story gets, like real convoluted, but... The story gets real convoluted. I love the last one, obviously, before the reboot one, the most recent one, Jigsaw. But the last one in that series was crazy because they brought back all these fucking people from the first seasons. Like, you know the guy in number one, how they're in that just their fucking bathroom? Oh, spoiler alert, by the way. Spoiler alert, hardcore spoiler alert. But they're in the bathroom. The one that wins, the one that chopped off his leg, he ends up becoming one of Jigsaw's disciples near the end in the last movie. You're like, what the fuck? Like, how?
Yeah, and the chick that got out of the mouth opening trap.
Yeah, she's that one's a bitch though. She's,
you know what's funny?
She traps people in.
That guy cuts off his foot is in Liar Liar with Jim Carrey. Mm-hmm. He's like
the wife's husband, right?
The wife's
new husband
or whatever.
Kerry Yules is his name. So he's in Princess Bride. He's like the
is he?
The main dad.
That's right.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah,
yeah. He's a lot younger in that movie.
Yeah, well, I mean,
and what's the other one that he's in? Robin Hood, Men in Tights. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen that in ages though. That's like classic Robin Hood. Some of those old movies are like really good. Have you guys seen Albert and Costello's Jack and the Beanstalk? That movie's fucking hilarious if you haven't seen it. It's like old school 80s movie, but it's like the best peak comedy I've seen because Albert and Costello were just like the best pair in my opinion. If you guys haven't seen that, I reckon watch it because I think it still holds up. I haven't seen it in a couple of years, so I hope so, but watch it.
I think I've seen none of their stuff.
Really?
I probably need to. Yeah, I don't think so. I think with me, it was, the Mel Brooks. I saw Mel Brooks was my sort of comedy movies that I grew up with. And then Princess Bride, which was Rob Reiner.
I mean, that's so many.
Movie, that movie.
I can't believe how many Albert and Costello movies there are. Holy fuck. There's like one, two, three,
I might have accidentally watched one. Is there?
There are so many.
You know, where you just don't even know who it is. Yeah.
You're watching, you're like, whoops.
I didn't realize there was this many. I'm going to watch more of them, I think. What's like? It's like the same sort of comedy as like the Three Stooges, you know, sort of slapstick and just real dumb 80s stuff. But I don't know. I used to love that because my mom used to watch those stuff all the time. So then when I was a kid, we used to watch them together and I sort of now, I mean, I would never willingly watch these movies by myself sort of thing. But because I had that as a kid, you sort of, it has that nostalgic feeling. So now when I watch them, I'm like, yeah, this is pretty funny.
What do you guys think is the funniest movie you've seen?
Recently or overall?
Question. I think recently there's number one great ones. I don't know. Can you think of any really good
The only one that comes to my mind.
Your favorite comedy, your most funniest
comedy.
Happy
Gilmore for me because Happy Gilmore, I've seen honestly 100 times, and it's just immensely quotable.
Is that the one where he's playing golf?
Yeah, he's a golfer. Yeah.
I love, there's a line from that movie that got me really good. It's when he's like, I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast.
You eat pieces
of shit. You eat shit for breakfast?
Yeah.
No. No.
No.
Everyone has their preferences, dude. You do what you got to do.
The guy who plays the villain. Sorry. Yeah. The guy who plays the villain is, I think he's Michael McDonald, something like that. But he does like these sort of campaign, like Vimeo things where he still plays his character, which is Shooter McGavin.
Shooter McGavin.
And so he's like 20 years later, but he'll do like a little custom video for you. Apparently, at Shooter McGavin and say, "Hey, meet me on the 9th green at 9, guys." Just like
apparently they're doing some movie now where I don't know if it's what I forgot what the movie's going to be called, but Happy like fuck, who plays Happy Gilmore? What's his Adam Sandler. I don't know how I blanked on that, but Adam Sandler's going to come in and play Happy Gilmore again just for like a cameo.
Oh,
I forgot what the movie is, but it's going to be fucking hilarious. I'm going to answer this question by what. When I watched the movie, how much I actually laughed. Like, because, you know, you can see comedy movies, but...
That's like, what I mean. I mean, you watch a comedy movie, you didn't laugh at all. You're like, that's the funniest movie I've ever seen.
I was about to explain that, you fuck. No, but like, you can watch comedy movies and you enjoy them and you're like, huh. But like, you don't actually laugh out loud. You know, you're just like smiling. You're like, oh, that was pretty long. Well, but
my question was, what is the funniest movie you've ever seen?
That's why I was about to answer it, you piece of shit. This is why you're fired. This is why you're fired.
I just didn't think you needed to clarify Tim. But thank you.
Okay.
For everyone in the audience, if it's
I'm just saying, because you can get funny movies and not lol out loud, all right? But have you guys seen Blockers? With, it's a...
Yes.
Yeah, dude, that movie.
With John Cena?
John Cena. That movie.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah.
From minute to minute, that had the most laughs I've had in many years.
Dude.
He's a good comedy actor.
I'll give John Cena credit. Yeah. He went from fucking wrestler to like movie star, and I've enjoyed all the movies I've seen
like,
with him. I actually enjoy his acting.
He's really funny too.
He plays that goofball.
Yeah, he's good
so
in Trainwreck,
well.
Like, same thing.
Have you seen Peacemaker?
Straight buff dude. You know, like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, Peacemaker is one of the funniest shows I've ever seen too, and it's the same. But like Blockers, there's so many scenes in Blockers where I'm like, this is so fucking logs. Like, there's a scene, they're like, what's an eggplant? He's like, that means cock. That means fucking cock. Fucking logs.
I watched this, this is unrelated, but I watch a YouTube channel. It's like a gamer and he plays this game. And when everyone does like a questionable move, he'll just like zoom in on their character and it'll be John Cena, the John Cena gift. It's like, are you sure about that? You know that one? Where he like appears in that hole. It's like, are you sure about that?
I don't think I have. I'm going to look it up now. John Cena gif.
What about you, Nick? Funny.
No, yeah, mine was old Happy Gilmore. I know you guys have said recent comedies because I said recent comedies don't do it for me. So unfortunately,
There's too much wokeness going around.
So then the people aren't allowed to do it. Otherwise their movie gets canceled.
Well, they don't go all in or they don't really utilize that aspect to make it, you know, turn it on its head as funny. So I think Blockers, Blockers was pretty good. But when I think they made another one, Bad Kids or something like that. Again, bad franchise. Yeah.
It was like a similar to Superbad. I think it was sort of a remake because it was still by Seth Rogen.
Like kids version of that.
Yeah.
But I watched a movie where it was sort of kids and they were like going through stuff where I forgot what the movie is. I think it's just called The Good Son. And it was like the kids are acting like kids. I hate when kids act like they're 20 or 21 or something like this. Sort of they're fed lines by the director and they're inserting themselves in the movie as these kids, but they're not kids because they're saying stuff that they shouldn't.
Like, yeah. That one particular one with Seth Rogen, because those kids were so young, they actually weren't legally allowed to go and watch their own movie in the cinema because like it was R-rated. They're like, I can't go watch it. So he's literally like, one of the actors, like he went there, tried to get tickets. They're like, we can't. He's like, I'm on the fucking poster, dude. Like I lived this shit. Like you think I don't know already? And I'm like, I think that's when it gets to a little bit ridiculous. She's like, hey, just let him watch it. Who gives a shit? Who cares about all this crap? Like, everyone's so desensitized anyway from the internet. Why do we even have this, like, classifications anymore?
Exactly. It's either right. Let him in or he's going to go home and watch free porn.
Also, Nick, since last time we spoke, I thought long and hard about my 10 out of 10 movies. Good. And I've come up with four. Shit. Like for sure, four definite for me. Okay. And then those are the four that I could think of. Like there's probably another one or two, but the, you know, you just can't think
What was this
of
question?
Them.
Like
so
what
I think I mentioned
what was your 10 out of 10 movie?
Your 10 out of 10 movies.
Your best of best.
So
movies.
I think I mentioned Pulp Fiction. I think I mentioned Shawshank Redemption. Yeah. And then I had a long thought about more. And I've decided I'm going to rate the old school Jungle Book because it's just so nostalgic and it's just forever. I watched it again last year and I was like, yeah, I still enjoy that movie.
I'm going to say, I'm going to go on out on a limb and say it's the best musical cartoon of all time. Okay. I think the music in that film is great.
Hercules is pretty up there
it's
though.
It's got great dialogue and it's got good. It makes you feel the vibe really well, like of whatever's going on. You feel that vibe. Mm. And the last one for me, and I'm not sure if you've ever seen this movie, Denzel Washington.
Always good.
It's called The Equalizer.
Oh, great movie.
I thought you were going to say a different movie, and I was about to agree with you. I thought you were about to say Man on Fire. And
that's
like,
also
yeah,
great.
That's
I haven't actually
great
seen
movie.
That.
What about Trading Day? That. Trading Day. It's like, Trading King Kong ain't got shit on me. Like Denzel Washington probably has some of the greatest monologues of all actors. Like in every single movie, he has a fucking some sort of line that is just brilliant. Such a good actor, though.
There's just like really good. Yeah, because in Equalizer, he's like, he makes friends with this like really young prostitute at like a diner. Like she's like been beaten up.
Oh, and
he's,
it's like, sex workers are.
Sex work. Well, I mean, she's forced into it. It's not like she's choosing. Like, she's basically like violently told to do it.
Yeah, by Russian
and
mob.
Basically, she's just like asking like why he acts this way or why she does it. Like she's just asking these really philosophical questions and he like, because he reads a lot, he like refers to like lines in books that he's read and I just think it's so profound. Like some of the lines he says, like they don't make it seem like it's super deep. They don't try and put a lot of emphasis on it, but it just comes across as quite deep and I just like liked the way the movie did that.
I've never seen it, but I just think
it
came out at a time. No, I need to see it because I know
you
it's got
watch
a,
it.
It's
really
a sequel,
good.
But it came out at a time where it was
sequel's not as good, but
a little
right.
bit saturated.
Don't worry about the sequel.
Yeah,
the
sequel's not first, as good. Yeah. First one's great.
But, so it came out with after John Wick, it came out after a sort of a run of these. I think after that came out was a film called Nobody, if you've seen
it. Yeah, that was a good movie too.
It's
Mr. Nobody.
Similar concept and similar films and it all just gets mixed up.
Bob Odenkirk as an action actor though is like, I just didn't expect that. And when I watched Nobody was one of the... Yeah, it's very similar to Equalizer, to be honest, now that I think about it. It's like sort of... You don't really expect it until at the moment where it happens. You're like, oh, what the fuck just happened? And that's why I really loved about Equalizer, because you're watching it and you're not really sure what's happening. You're still enjoying the movie. And then all of a sudden, he just becomes this completely different person that he was at the beginning of the movie. And you're like, what? Like, who is this guy? And then me and Zar watched it together in the cinema. And I remember the first scene, like spoiler alert, when he goes into the Russian like mob. That first scene, I mean, I think it's in the trailer. And we were watching it, and at the end, we were like, what the fuck? That was the coolest scene I've ever seen. And both me and Zara were on the edge of our seat from the rest of the movie onwards. It was really good. I loved that movie.
See, that's a good point, Tim. So sometimes, have you seen a film where you're like, you love a certain scene that perhaps, you know, you sort of rate as a 10 out of 10 scene in a not so great or even just a sort of mediocre film? Have you sort of had that before?
Hmm.
Where you just like, that's a perfect scene.
That's a good question. I'm trying to think now because it's like
I think so.
Oh, I've definitely done it.
I can't think of an example. But definitely.
I thought when I watched Spectre, the James Bond one. I thought the opening was fantastic, and everything was like, "Whoa, this is gonna be great." And then it kind of just didn't deliver. Yeah, but the opening.
I gave up
was...
on Daniel Craig's 007 after Quantum of Solace.
You missed Skyfall. That was a good one.
I just like what I didn't really like
when the sky
I was such a huge fan of 007 when I was a kid, right? Like one of the biggest fans I subscribed to the magazine, so I was like getting all those like gadgets and stuff, and then one of my favorite bits of 007 were the gadgets, and that's what killed me about the reboot. There was no cool gadgets. Like that was literally what 007 was.
I love that
they took it away.
yeah, it's not simplified, okay, so, but like no, that is so. Like what can 007 I offer was.
My rebuttal?
Yeah, go on. Go on. Rebuttal.
So when the gadgets became ridiculous, because if you remember the last Pierce Brosnan film, it was Die Another Day, where he had an invisible car.
Yeah. That's fucking amazing.
And stuff.
That's like the best part of the movie, dude. When he's like driving through that ice thing in that invisible car, that's like the best scene, dude. What are you talking about?
But there's a great scene in Skyfall where he gets this gadget from Q and he goes, it's a radio. He just has to push a button and it's a radio. I love that. I think it's just,
I think
it's so cool.
I think I actually did see that one.
Simplified it.
Because that's what made me realize why I didn't really, because when I was watching I loved Casino Royale. Casino Royale was really good, just because it was a good story. But then when I watched the second one, because I wasn't really computing that there was something missing, you know, about the original 007. And then in sort of that scene that I watched when they're both sitting on the thing and he gives him a gadget and he's just like, oh, this is all we've got. And I'm like, oh, that's what it's missing. It's missing all the cool fucking gadgets. Like, I fucking loved those gadgets. Like when in one of Pierce Brosnan's ones where he's like in the car and then he has to use the back camera out of his car to like drive and he's just using this like control on his fucking phone. I was like, one of the coolest scenes, dude.
I mean, that's fine. Like that exists though. I mean, like invisible car. I mean, like it just became
What do you mean? Invisible cars probably
became
exist.
Less Pierce Brosnan and more just the gadgets he had.
You don't think of an invisible car as possible? Is that what you're trying to say to me?
Maybe eventually. We'll
I mean, we've got right cloaking devices on planes. Surely yeah, we'll have cloaking devices on cars, right?
But not to make it invisible. It just kind of blends in with the... Look, anyway, yeah. Look, agree, disagree. But I will say this, Quantum of Solace wasn't a great film and understandable that that's why you kind of said this isn't... I think as a Bond film, it was missing a lot more than just its gadgets. It was missing really a continuation of Casino Royale. So his character sort of just, you know, being pissed off at the Bond girl, remember Evergreen, it's called Vespa. Yep. And it didn't really, as a standalone film, it's really not great at all. And so
I didn't like the villain
in Skyfall.
I think I didn't like the villain either. The villain was just this weird guy. I was like, I don't really get it. Like back in the day, you remember the Jaws villain? The Jaws guy with the metal mouth that he could just eat metal.
100%. No, James Bond lives and dies by its villain.
Yeah, 100%. And like, because I used to collect the cards and stuff, so I know all of these old villains, and they just don't hold up anymore, you know. But I'm pretty sure they're gonna reboot it now, probably with some black actor. Knowing how the world's going, they're just gonna, or a girl. They might make it a girl. Who knows? Who knows what's gonna happen next?
I've got no idea where they're gonna take it. But yeah, you didn't watch the last one. Should we spoil it?
I know what happens. I know what happens.
You know what happens.
I looked
apparently
it up.
James
yeah.
Bond, that is Daniel Craig. But what I subscribe to the theory that 007 is a code name.
It is.
So James Bond is a code. So
Whoever has 007 James is Bond. James Bond. Yeah.
And that's what I think. So that's why you get different personalities and some Bonds go for one episode, some three, some five, some, you know, Sean Connery and stuff. So.
I really wish they made that clear though, because that's sort of, because that's what I would always look at too.
It's a fan
sort
theory.
Of similar, so yeah, similar to Doctor Who, right? That's why that they explain why and how it can continue going is because, yeah, it's just it's a title that's brought down. But they don't make that clear in the actual series. And I think that's what, I think they should. Because I reckon that's the best way to sort of explain it. Is just like, yeah, because I'm pretty sure, spoiler alert, like, doesn't Daniel Craig die at the end of Spectre? That's what I heard, because I watched a fucking interview or something with him. And he's like, I really want to die at the end of my series.
And
I don't know
why. Yeah, he wanted to do it actually. And so they said, oh, we can throw a missile at you if you want. And he goes, yeah, please. Just.
He's like, I'm never coming back to this series.
Daniel Craig won't return.
Well, I mean, he's done like five movies or whatever. Like, that's enough. You don't need any more than that. He's banked in his paycheck.
I think, what was it? Spectre was going to be his last one, and then they threw a lot of money at him. So he kind of forced their hand and said, you got to kill me off because I'm just going to keep saying yes to all the money you offer me for the sixth one or whatever.
Wait, wasn't Spectre the last one? Or did he do another one?
Oh, no, the one after that, what was that called? Czar? Do you remember the latest James Bond?
No, I have no idea.
Oh, God.
You know what? Google knows.
How embarrassing. The movie guy's on and you can't...
I thought it was... it's Casino Royale, Quantum Solace, Skyfall, and then Spectre. There's only four, right?
No, and there's a fifth one. There's a fifth one where he's Remy...
Oh, No Time Rami to Die, Malek? Of course.
Yeah, no time to die. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Casino Royale, Quantum Solace, Skyfall, Spectre, and No Time to Die.
No Time that to Die. Sense. It sound, as a title, it just sounds like a random James Bond movie generator, yeah. Doesn't it? Like,
yeah, it does. If you look at the other ones, it's like License to Kill, Golden Eye, Tomorrow Never Dies, The World Is Not Enough, Die Another Day.
Yeah.
It's very, very cookie cutter now that I look at it. Dude, but then you look at friggin' Sean Connery's ones and there's like Moonraker, For Your Eyes Only, and Octopussy. What the fuck?
On Her Majesty's Octopussy. Secret Service. That's
I kind of want to watch some of these old ones now. Dude, but how good was the...
They're all great.
How good was the GoldenEye video game though? Do you guys remember that? That's actually, in 64, talking about nostalgic games, that's one of my favorite games. And it
still
holds up.
I remember when you play the single player and you like complete a certain percentage of the campaign, you could unlock cheat codes. Do you guys remember the DK mode?
No.
And it just gave him massive heads. You don't remember that?
I don't remember.
You could turn on cheat codes. You can make yourself invisible. You can be invisible. All these sort of things. Yeah. And there was one that
the Golden Gun,
Golden Gun that, only was a cheat code. And then one of them was called DK mode, and everyone just has massive heads, just huge.
Well, I loved
it. It was so easy to headshot him.
I loved in GoldenEye is how they had all these secret rooms where if you just walked into one wall, you just walked through it, and then you could just hold there and just shoot everyone. Dude, that game brings me back such nostalgia. I'm pretty sure they're trying to reboot it for Switch, which would be the dopest thing of all time. If they actually just made it the exact same, just better graphics, I'd buy it again. Wouldn't you?
I think they did. I remember seeing like a bunch Not yet. Of
I think new they videos. Plan they on doing done, it. Like, no, I don't think they've done it yet. Well, let's find out. GoldenEye.
It'd be great Switch. On Switch. I reckon it would be like if they updated the graphics and stuff this on that game, it would be a great game.
I just randomly thought of it the other day and I looked it up and there was this old PC game I played back in the day. I'm sure you guys haven't played it, but it's just got a nostalgic kind of song. Do you ever play Strike Bass? Does that ring a bell?
I don't think I've heard of it.
No one's ever played it, but I found a YouTube video about it and it's just got like this big old intro going, "Welcome to Strike Bass." And it's sort of like, you go around in a plane.
Apparently GoldenEye has come out for Nintendo Switch Online and expansion pack members.
Online,
I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means, but I want to fucking investigate. That's for fucking sure. I'm going to investigate real hard. All right. Do you guys want to go to a bucket topic?
Let's do it.
All right.
We can or do an MIDR some Reddit. Ever since last time.
Yeah, go with the Reddit then.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got...
Answers usually.
One, am I the asshole? And I've got three, advice. And then I also found a too afraid to ask.
Too afraid to ask.
We can do a few of those.
I'm gonna put my thing in. Questions. All three of them, you're going to be the asshole. That's always
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna back that.
No, three of them are just advice. Just asking for advice.
All right, do the asshole one first then.
Average advice.
Okay. Am I the asshole for not telling my wife our daughter's name is also the name of a girl I dated over a decade ago.
No. Wait, for not telling her? Wait, so the wife is mad? Okay, just tell me the story.
We decided we wanted the gender of our baby to be a surprise to us and didn't discuss any baby names. It was a girl, so my wife instantly said, "Can we name her X?" After my great-grandma. Her great-grandma passed away a few years ago and was special to her because she raised her up until the age of 10. She obviously put some thought into this because she asked as soon as we were told it's a girl. I actually never knew that was her great-grandma's first name because my wife always referred to her as grandma.
Makes sense.
Well, that also happened to be the name of the girl I dated over a decade ago. My wife was super excited and obviously all emotional after giving birth, so I didn't say anything and agreed. The ex didn't mean anything to me. We dated sophomore year in high school, and I honestly forgot about her until the name came up. I didn't think that was the right time to bring it up. I completely forgot about the ex name part soon after because, well, new baby. Now it's 4 years later and some of my buddies are over and one of the idiots says, "Hey, didn't you date X in high school?" I said yes and the conversation moved on. After they left, my wife got pissed that I let the name of our daughter after my ex. I said, "No, we named her after your great-grandma. I'd completely forgotten about my ex." She's upset and I think she's overreacting a bit and will cool down and understand. But while she's avoiding me, am I the asshole here?
No. No, she's a crazy person.
That's some toxic femininity
right there. How? It's just a name. It's not like he's like, oh.
So there's Tim, so there's so many different Tims. So it depends on
the exactly. Like,
I don't know. It's a hard one and to navigate anyway.
Well, I mean, if he suggested it, he's like, oh, yeah, I really like this name. I would say more on the asshole. But she suggested it. And she said, it's my grandma's name. We named it after your ex. She goes,
I agree. She goes, I really want this name.
Yeah.
It's named after my great grandma. It means a lot to me. Imagine if he just shuts that down.
Like, sorry, no.
No, I dated a girl 10 years ago with that name.
It's so retarded.
Like how that would be an asshole move.
That's some toxic.
Like, that would be a dickhead move.
No.
You know?
She's been toxic.
I feel like he was trying to save a bit of face, not be the asshole in that situation. Go, you know what? You named me after great grandma. I'm going to let it slide that I had an ex from 10 years ago named that, who doesn't mean anything to me anymore.
Mm. I mean, yeah.
He was being the nice guy, and now he's in trouble for being the nice guy.
It was never brought up. He just said, by the way, we can call it this name. It's fine. Call our baby this. But just so you're aware, I dated this person in high school for a year. It means absolutely nothing. So I think she's angry that she found out from a friend. His friend who said, oh, didn't you date this person in high school? And then she looks like a schmuck saying, why is my daughter named after this ex?
But finding out is such
I understand why she feels that way.
But like finding out is such a loose term because it's like, it's not like he's keeping a secret, you know? It's just like, if it was an ex-wife, I would have a little bit more to say about it. But fact, if it's like a 10-year-old relationship that they dated for a year, who gives a fuck? Like, if people actually care like that, that's on you, not on the other person, in my opinion. It's like, you need to go to therapy because that's some toxic
I find there's a rule with the am I the assholes, and generally it's because it's you're hearing from one side, and so you got to kind of just move their story a little bit towards the, I suppose, the other person, because they're not having their side. They're
biased, yeah.
It's complete, yeah. It's sort of narrator's bias.
I would agree with you there, Nick, but a lot of the time these people that post these on Reddit,
people then go,
you're the fucking asshole. Yeah. So like they're telling their side of the story and they're still the asshole. So I feel like, that could happen. Someone could spin it so that it sounds like they're not the asshole, but people still post these things and get told, no, you're being the asshole here.
And most of the time it's pretty obvious that they're the asshole, but I mean, I suppose this is just comes to the teams. Just like, I mean, a name doesn't mean anything unless you have like meaning behind it. It's just a name.
One of the comments is, you're not the asshole. I mean, she named her daughter X. Who even names their daughter X? And then someone's like, yeah, it's better to name them Y. Just fine.
XXY.
Most of the comments agree, not the arsehole.
Mm. Yeah, cool. I'm glad.
But again, the missing information there is the name. So if the name's super common, then sure.
Exactly.
It's really unique. You know,
if it's like Mary, but if it's like Xena, warrior princess.
Yeah, Mary, like that, right? Yeah, Xena, that's right. So if Mary's funny because didn't Jesus have a mother called Mary?
Yes.
And also a love interest called Mary?
Did he?
Right.
Wow. You didn't tell me we named our daughter after Jesus.
Yeah. Right.
Mom.
Imagine that.
I'm so mad.
Oh, yeah. Mary
Jesus
Magdalene. Of course.
Had a love interest. Mary. Was it Mary Magdalene?
I never noticed that. Mary Magdalene. Yeah. Mary Magdalene.
Mary Madeline.
Do you think Jesus told her straight away?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's my mum's name. His mom. Can't have that name.
Yeah. Can you change your name? Is that right?
Pretty sure it's Mary.
Oh well,
Magdalene.
My dad's name is God. Hey, that's also my dad's name. Hey.
I pray to God. That's my dad actually. So
like, can you stop talking to my dad behind my back, please?
So do we all agree not the asshole? Weebek, you're kind of on the fence a little bit.
You've convinced me. I'll come.
He's playing devil's advocate.
I was just saying I'd like more information, but I'm leaning, swaying towards not the.
Yeah, if only we could like have the wife's opinion. I wanted to read an advice one because the title was really funny, and I wanted to read it.
I'm so ready.
So this is someone's asking for advice on this subreddit advice.
All right. Don't give us the advice yet. We'll give our advice after you're done, and then we'll see if it matches. So say what they want.
So the title is, this is stupid, but I have a problem with a seagull at work.
Okay.
All right. I'm a line cook. I go smoke by the dumpsters a few times a day. We get seagulls in our parking lot, a well-known restaurant. It's busy and tourists are sloppy with their fries. Mm. I also suspect that tourists are feeding the seagulls because it's cute, even though it's very against the rules. Regardless, the gulls do not fear man or God. They are used to people. A few weeks back, one of the gulls swooped down and took my cig. He's probably saving you from cancer.
Took the cig out of his mouth. That's impressive.
I think he thought it was a French fry. I giggled and went about my day. However, it's happened a few times since. I know it's the same guy because he has a dark spot in his chest.
He's got the black lung.
The pestilence. I'm concerned he is now addicted to nicotine. He's by the dumpsters at the same time as my breaks every single day. This is obviously not good for him. Not good for the seagull, but it's all right for you. And I'm getting mad about him bumming off me because smoking is expensive. Do I try to quit smoking? I'll make noise and try to appear large to scare him off, but the pestilence is hip to my tricks. Have work cracked down on tourists feeding the gulls? What do I do? Are there sonar weapons, such as the dog whistle type of thing I could employ? Sorry, this is fucking stupid. I'm being bullied by a seagull. He also stole a $10 bill from one of my coworkers. It's very rural, so we don't have animal rescues and animal control. Just laughed when we called. Any advice, welcome. And yes, I am serious.
They called
sucks,
animal control.
But I care about wildlife, and he's probably too young to be smoky.
You know what he could do?
I feel like this is a troll.
Because like, there's no way in hell a smoker will willingly give up their fucking cigarette for us to a seagull. Like, if a seagull tried to steal my cigarette, mate, that seagull's getting cooked. Like, no way.
$10.
I don't believe that.
I think the seagull's just addicted. That's why he went after the $10 bill.
Well, I want to know if it went, like, he picked it up with his mouth or it was in his claws, you know? And he's shaking people down for money. Maybe he just needs money for another pack.
I'm just hilarious that this guy, through all of this, is concerned about the seagull's health. Like, shouldn't be smoking. He's too young. He's just a little bird. He's going to get cancer. Like, that's the one of the main, his main things in this is, like, he's worried about his health.
I can't judge people, man. Like, maybe that seagull's having a very stressful day. Maybe, like, his wife's on his back. Like, they're on their third egg. And he just doesn't know how to cope, you know? So he's just shaking people down for money and getting a little bit of a hit. I can't judge him.
If he's really concerned, like, just take like a cricket bat or a tennis racket with you to work. Or if the seagull comes,
smoke somewhere else. Smoke somewhere else. Like, there's so many ways out of here.
Impossible.
I love how he came up. He said, should I just quit cigarettes? Like, that's maybe a good reason.
Should he quit cigarettes so that the seagull doesn't get
it? He's healthy.
is his reasoning. He's like, I shouldn't quit for my own health. I should quit because it's bad for this seagull that keeps stealing my cigarettes.
Maybe that's going
to
be the catalyst.
He's trying to justify it.
That's going to be the catalyst to get him to quit, though. So I'm like, I'm going to say, yes, you should quit for the seagull's health.
And then that bit, he's like, he's annoyed that the seagull is bumming off him because this is just like not, it's not a cheap
like
hobby.
This guy must be like the scrawniest dude if he's like getting bullied by a seagull. Because it's like, I mean, I've been swooped before.
All right, giddy.
Did my cat come back? I've been swooped before many times. Have you guys ever been injured by a seagull? Not a seagull, a magpie? It fucking hurts.
No,
man.
Never.
I got a minor injury from a magpie.
I was going to work once, right?
Magpies, they all discuss. I reckon they have little.
Oh, they talk to each other for sure, but they don't speak. Yeah, but I remember because like they've always been real close to me. They always get real close, but they've never made contact except once. I was like when I was living in Franklin, I was walking to the train station, and I was just on my phone, and this motherfucker swooped and hit my head, and I had just a mad scratch down my head, and I'm like, motherfucker. It hurt like a bitch, too, and I was like, damn. I hope I don't get any diseases from that.
First time I got swooped, it scratched my ear with its talon.
Fucking brutal.
And my ear was bleeding heaps, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Such a dick move, dude.
What? That was so unnecessary. I wasn't doing anything to you, idiot.
I feel like birds are going to take over the world one day. They've got the high ground. Like,
That's right. That's why I basically pay them my dues whenever I can.
Pay them dues.
I'm nice to house magpie whenever I see one. I offer it some cigarette and mints. Yeah. And I haven't been swooped ever.
But you've just never been swooped.
You like that? It doesn't even pay for those cigarettes.
Well, you're telling me you've never been swooped in your entire life.
Never been swooped.
I don't
never been swooped.
That,
it's like it's like a John Hughes movie.
I don't even have any hair. I've
never been swooped.
And I get swooped.
I've only ever been swooped riding a bike. I've never been swooped just walking.
Walking sucks.
Only when I'm riding.
Do you have
a bike.
That helmet with the spikes?
The spikes out of it, yeah.
I didn't. Or you put the googly eyes on the back and then they don't swoop you because they don't swoop you if you look at them.
I would just do this.
So if you got the googly eyes, they're like, oh shit, he's looking at me.
Yeah, I would just stare at them. But like usually the ones that, because I mean, there's nothing more embarrassing than getting swooped because you can't get swooped and still look manly because it's like you immediately start doing this and then like, because what are you gonna do? You're gonna punch the fucking magpie in the head. Like you can't win. So especially if they start swooping you when you're fucking walking, it sucks because they just stay with you for ages and you're like, leave me alone.
If you manage to get it, to clock it in the beak, I would be pretty impressed. I remember, it's manly.
I'm not going to say who, but like one of our friends told me when he was a kid that him and his friend were getting swooped across this field for ages. And like they just got sick of it once. So then as they were walking home, they just picked up sticks and they're like, bring it, bring it. And then as there was like four of them, they just kept getting swooped. And on the last one, they just went like threw the stick and it just hit him. It didn't kill the bird, but it stunned it enough to fucking it off. And I was just like, dude, that's brutal. That's brutal. I wouldn't be able to do that.
What
you know they're swooping you because they have you just killed a dad. That's a dad. That's a new dad, and you just murdered him in front of his kids.
You're gonna cop it for life. So recently, when I've gone around and hit a golf ball, crows come out to try to get the golf balls because they think it's like a little egg or a shiny thing to keep. And so what you have to do is you got a golf club and you have it over your head like that and you go crazy going just look nuts, just look absolutely nuts, and the crow's just like, fuck this, I'm out of here, I'm not dealing with that.
What would you guys do if you were overseas and you saw, like, not being attacked by a bear, but you saw a bear close enough that it could easily attack you? Like what do you think?
Are we like, hold on, are we like in the wilderness alone with the bear?
Correct. Yeah. So imagine
like no weapons or anything. We're just like,
I mean,
it's
no,
like
you,
we're
you
like
have
lost
no, you
in
can't
the woods.
Fight.
We got no, like,
you're fishing
and we just see a bear and the bear's seen us.
Say you're fishing, right? Cause I saw this video the other day. Yeah. Say you're just fishing on like a riverbank and then this fucking brown bear just comes in and is just like looking in the water for fish. Like what would go through your brain first? Like utter fear would be me because you can't win.
Oh yeah.
Like you can't win. And
I think at that stage you just go into fight or flight.
You just sit
just
there.
Sort of, you wouldn't can't. Really think you would just, your brain would just go into like that.
Yeah. I'll just be hoping. Just,
it would be in reaction.
Whereas you should do right? Because if you're not going to win in a fight and you know, and if you run away, it's going to get you.
Oh, if you run,
apparently
you,
what you're
chase
meant
you,
to
yeah.
do is stand up, make yourself big.
Rawr.
My thoughts now is like, well, logically this would be the best course of action for me to take. But if I was in that situation, my logic wouldn't be working. Yeah, no, it would be fight or flight. Yeah. And I'd probably just start panicking and just do the first thing that comes to mind. My first thought-
You'd be eating for sure.
The first thought I'm thinking now is if I had some fish that I'd caught,
throw
them at the bear. The bear's like, yeah, in the fish. And I just like creep away.
Yeah.
And be like,
well, it's
and
weird.
Just fucking get it fast.
Because depending on what bear, you have to do different things. Like if it's a grizzly, you have to play dead. Because you're not going to win. If it's a brown or a black bear, you have to make yourself real big so then it thinks it can't beat you. But realistically, you're not going to win. Like
polar
if it's a grizzly,
bear,
you're fucked.
You do.
And do you know what's the worst thing is grizzlies, they'll just eat you like a salmon. So they start eating you while you're alive. So they put their one paw on you so you can't move and then they just start biting chunks off. I think one of the worst ways to go would be eaten by a bear.
Eaten by a bear. Yeah.
Probably a polar bear would be the worst way because they just eat anything. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, polar bears because they're hungry.
Did you guys hear about that time I got eaten by a bear?
Polar bears are fucked. Did you guys see that video of this guy? He was like in a you know, the plastic shit. Really, really thick plastic box in the Antarctic. And he's obviously a wildlife photographer or something.
and he sees this polar bear coming from ages away. So he's like, I'm just going to get in my little safety box. And the polar bear is like around him and just trying to figuring out how to get into this box to eat this guy. And he's very close to him, like, and he goes straight to the door because obviously he can see, sense that the door is the weakest point. And he starts just pushing on the door to try to get into this guy. And he basically said, he's like, if this bear gets on top of this cage, there's a good chance it will crush. So he's just freaking out, just filming this. He's like, this could be my last moments. And I'm like, that would, jeez. I would be shitting myself. It'd be the most terrifying thing of my life, I think. That or a shark. I think if, being in water with a shark or the being thing, in an open with a bear, it would be terrifying.
But apparently, sharks, because they're not very intelligent, they're very easy to fool or manipulate. Mm-hmm. Or like, apparently you just like punch them or poke them in the eyes and they just kind of fuck off.
Yeah,
that's what I'm heard. I mean,
the nose is right above their teeth. Heard. So, like, but apparently,
we've got to give people advice because they're tuning in for the average advice. So we need to give them something to take on a
don't get eaten by a bear.
If you're getting run at by a crocodile, apparently you just like sit on its jaws, or you just like hold it. You just like crush its jaws closed because they have really weak opening. They're like jaws close. Yeah. With super big force, but they can't open their jaws very well. Oh. So you just like sit on their like mouth, and you're like, "What now, idiot? What now?"
Flick it in the ear as well.
Well, with the shark though, sharks, if you don't panic and you like you know what you're doing around sharks, sharks are actually pretty easy because when they come out to you, all you have to do is sort of go underneath them, and you can turn them over. Once you turn them over, they just go docile because they're I don't know what kind sounds of reaction hard, it is. Oh, it would be terrible. I would never be able to do it. But I've seen videos of people doing it.
Tap it on the nose or something? Isn't that
well, if it's coming to attack you, and depends how aggressive it is. But I mean, it's pretty hard to like hit it on the nose, but because they're not expecting that. But if you just roll it over, it literally goes immobilized because they will literally die like that if they get rolled over. So they just go into like
scratch the tummy.
Yeah, give it a little.
Give him a bit of a belly rub.
Scratch around.
Good boy.
Yeah.
Well, that's an hour, guys.
I want to do
1 hour and 1 minute.
Yep, go on.
You know, so talking about the fight or flight, you know, the trolley conundrum. You guys heard of that one?
No.
Where
enlighten us.
Maybe it's a bit long for an hour. We'll do it next time.
Just give us the.
Okay, you know the trolley conundrum where a train's going down a track, and if you're on the sort of like the pulley thing to turn it onto a different track, and if you pull the lever, the train will go on and run over one person. If you don't, it'll run over five people. And so the question is, you can't save the people. You can only you got to make
you can kill one person or five, basically.
That's what it boils down to. But it also boils down to the fight or flight, because if you're in that situation, are you thinking, you know, logically that one life is better than five? You know, one life saves.
Five
lives saves better than one.
So if I do nothing, right? If I do nothing on the train track, it's going to hit five people, right?
Yeah.
That's or is it the other way around? So that's right. It's either do nothing and watch five people die, or attempt to fix it and watch one person die.
Yeah.
I mean,
but I think the thought there is,
I mean, logically, you kill the one
paralysis.
Person.
You're frozen in to have to, like, a lot of people won't pull the lever because
do anything.
It's inserting themselves as playing God, so to speak.
I saw a TikTok video of this where they gave that same problem to a toddler, maybe like a 2 or 3 year old. So they had the train and there was the tracks and it was like split off into two. And they were like, which way does the train go, honey? And he like grabs the track with the one person on it, moves over to the other side, and you're like, oh, he's just going to like move them over and put the train. And then he just crushes them all.
Kills all the people. Yeah. I was like, yep.
So it's like, that's the answer.
Just kill everyone. Just kill everyone. I saw a video of this guy running into a train track because some motherfucker tied their dog to the train track. And he's like literally legging it, and this train's coming down, and all of his friends are like, no, just leave it. And he grabs the dog, pulls him out just in time. And I'm like, I'd probably do that more than I would do it for a person, honestly. I like animals more than people, so I'd probably risk my life way more for an animal than a person, now that I think about it.
That's happened before. There was another time where a dog jumped in this, in Yellowstone. They've got all these kind of
hot springs.
Park. yeah, hot springs, and it was really hot. One of the dogs jumped in. It was like 90 something degrees. Yeah, and he jumped in after the dog. It wasn't even his dog. It was his friend's dog. And he pulled the dog out. Didn't pull it out. The dog still died. And then he obviously was pulled out, but he had just complete severe burns and died. But he jumped in after this dog, just not thinking about his own well-being. Well,
you also don't realize how hot it is. Like, you think it's warm. You think it's... Because there's other parts of Yellowstone where it's like lukewarm when you can actually get into it. But there's like others where they're just like, yeah, it's like boiling hot. Yeah, and your skin will literally just melt off you.
Yeah,
that wouldn't be fun. It wouldn't be fun. I saw, I saw a story similar to that where they went to this sort of geyser and they were going to a hot springs late at night. And they didn't really want to walk back through this sort of, because it was a really long jungle road. They didn't want to walk back through the jungle road at night because it's like, it's pretty dangerous. So they're like, how about we just walk like on the beach area up to where we are, so we still have the light of the moonlight. And then half of them went that way, half of them just went through the jungle because it was like, it was just, yeah, I don't know why, because they knew the track. So the people went through the jungle, went back to the car, they were there fine. And then all of a sudden they just start hearing screaming. And what happened is where they were, if it was daytime, they would see all these signs saying, do not go this way, because... Mm. Up the back, there was a geyser that was directly linked to like a volcano, basically underground.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like really, really hot water. And what they were doing, because they needed to jump over to this over this little section to get to where they needed to walk up. So they jumped over and they slipped. And as soon as one of their foot went into the water, they just like went paralyzed and they fell in. And so one person was in the water. And the other two were trying to pull her out, but they couldn't get in the water to get her out. So she was just basically just there melting. And I'm like, that. That would be a bad way to go, dude. Bad way to go. Almost as bad as getting crushed by a submarine. Topical.
Yeah, topical, very topical. But that's over in milliseconds. So that...
Yeah, I know.
That thing happening and having an implode like that, it's just done. Yeah.
I read somewhere that there's no bodies because they all got turned to dust, basically.
Yeah.
soon as it happened, it would have been, you're dead. It would have been like, hey, they probably just had a joke and then all of a sudden they're all crushed to death. Fuck right, that.
Yeah, well, save money on the grave at least.
You couldn't pay me enough to go underground. Just, all right.
No,
yeah, let's end it there.
This reminded me, I've been watching Dragon Ball Z again, and it reminds me of like, you know how they do like, you know how they do like energy blasts out of their hands? They like, yeah. I watched one last night. He like full energy blasted a dude and just like disintegrated him. Just like, and I'm like, fuck, that's brutal. Imagine going that way. You're just like, you see this and then you just, you're gone.
Yeah.
Like, that would be fucking brutal.
Well, I think if I, because right. I mean, I've watched a lot of, I just one more comment on that. But like, I've watched a lot of like sort of crime shows lately, and it's like, I don't know. Like, I think the fear of getting like you know, just someone about to shoot you in the face would be worse than the actual death. Like the moments leading up to your death would be way worse. So I think if I'm gonna get murdered, I'd rather it be from the back of the head or some way where I don't see it coming, because I think I'm so terrified of getting like shot or stabbed or anything like that. I don't want to do that. Anyway, let's leave it on that happy note.
It's your one fear.
Thank you so much, Weebek, for coming
on. Thanks,
Weebek.
Always a pleasure.
This is Average Advice. And if anyone has any advice they'd want to give regarding the stories we shared or whatever, please give us a comment or send us an email.
We'll figure
if you want to come on the show, hit us up, because we've been asking people and it's been going horribly. So.
I would love a stranger on the phone. I mean, we've had one like that. Chris? Cameron. I've got his name. Cameron. Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, Cameron Ribbons is our only stranger we've ever had, but it was fun. But we'll leave it there. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week for our last episode of the season, and we'll go from there. Stay average.
Stay average.